tonight, Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Let's read responsively tonight in this passage of 16 verses. I'll read verse 1, and then please, if you would, join me on verse 2, and then every other verse down through verse 16 here tonight. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen.
I want to say tonight this. Tonight's message is simply entitled, To the Work. To the Work. Yes, there's a song by the same title, and you'll see that in just a little while. But what we are doing here is called the Lord's work. It is. It's not my work, though I'm involved in it. It's not your work, though you're involved in it, or should be. But it's the Lord's work. And what we do is for Him. It is not for our own glory. It is not for our own gain. It is not for our own promotion. It is the Lord's work. I think about the testimony that I share from time to time, but I was 17 years old when I surrendered my life to the work, the Lord's work. And I've been in it ever since. However, what I'm saying to all of us is that we're all should be and are involved in the Lord's work. And I do thank God for that night. That Friday night on February 9th, 1973, when I said, Lord, take me and use me for whatever you want to do. And you've heard me say this 100 dozen times, and I'll share it till the day that I die. But on that night, after Tom Wallace had preached, I knelt down at the altar on this side, my left and your right, all by myself. No one was there with me. No one took their arm and put it around my shoulders. No one handed me a decision card. No one prayed with me. But on that night, I wrote the Lord a blank check, spiritually speaking, and I signed it and asked Him to fill it in for whatever He wanted in my life. I meant it then. I mean it now. Have I been a faithful servant of the Lord for all these years? Not on your life. I would like to say that I have been, but I haven't been. I have not been the servant that I want to be, but I've never turned back, and I've never taken back that decision. And as far as God being my helper goes, as long as He helps me, I'm not going to take that decision back. That belongs to Him. That was a decision that I made. It's one that's made from the Word of God. The Apostle Paul writing said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Roman believers. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's things that people still ought to do to this day. And we just read an entire passage here about laborers for the Lord. And in this message, I want to show us several aspects of the Lord's work. And remember, this is the Lord's work. Somebody say, such and such about your church, not my church. I get to pastor this place, but it's the Lord's work. And it has always been the Lord's work. And that's the way it will remain. It's a sort of an alliterated outline that I want to give you tonight, but follow along with me if you would. First of all, notice the management of this vineyard. That's the Lord himself. The Lord is actively seeking laborers. He really is. He makes no one do anything. Was that bad English? He doesn't make anybody do anything. He wants us to volunteer, as we should. He wants us to surrender, as we should. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 20 in verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." Then Matthew chapter 20 in verse 3, "And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace." And then there's chapter 20 verses 5 and 6. It says again, when he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" He was going out looking for vineyard people that would work there for him, looking for laborers. He wanted laborers, and all he had was people to deal with. Angels were not going to come down and do the work. No, those that had already died in Christ were not going to come back and do the work. No, it was live people, people that breathe, people that have flesh and blood and bone. The truth is, I can't think of a better boss than the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, God's always seeking for men and women to serve him. The most famous, perhaps, of all the passages in the Old Testament is Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse 8, where it says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." He wanted somebody to work. He wanted somebody to make up the hedge. He wanted somebody to do the Lord's work and pray and work and all that needed to be done. And Isaiah, thank God, he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." In order to accomplish his work on earth, God wants his people to do his will. And God has a will and many wills for each of us to accomplish his will on this earth. But it is his will that we do his will and accomplish his will. Moses answered God's calling. Deborah answered God's calling. Elijah answered God's calling. Esther answered God's calling. Jeremiah answered God's calling. Elisha answered God's calling. And even Jonah, with a bad attitude, answered God's calling. God used each one of these. But it was not an angel that came down from heaven. No, it was God who was going to be the ruler over all, and he was looking for volunteers, and they did. In the New Testament, we find the Lord still seeking laborers, still seeking laborers. No, you would think if it was the Lord's work, which it is, there everybody would want to get in on it. But it's not that way. Listen to these verses. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Someone argued one day that was only a command that was given to the disciples. Excuse me. The Bible says, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." It wasn't just to be to the disciples. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." And then John chapter 20 and verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You've been waiting for me to get to that one. And the Bible simply says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And remember what Matthew said, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Yes, they were to take the gospel. Yes, they were the volunteers. Yes, they were to go out and give the gospel wherever they went, but they were to teach others how to spread the gospel as well. the Lord rewards righteously. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 15. Remember, he's our boss and he does right. And I like what it says here. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? You have no better boss than the Lord Jesus. He's the one. And we need to keep that in mind. But then I want you to notice not just the manager, not just the management of the laboring, but I want you to notice the manpower. What's the manpower? Those who are saved. The Bible says this, that God uses bone and flesh and blood to accomplish His will. He uses the born again to do His will. You have to understand, all He has to work with down here are people. That's it. No one else. And the dead are not coming out of the grave. I like what the Bible talked about the man who died and went to hell. He said, send Lazarus. And he says, they've got Moses. One that's here can't go there. One that's there can't come here. No, we've got to get the gospel out. He uses living, born-again people. John chapter 15 and verse 5. I can't seem to walk away from that verse when it comes to doing the Lord's work. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And he meant what he said. We have to have the Lord Jesus, the manpower, empowered by the Lord Jesus, born again, saved people, blood washed, whatever you want to call them, people that know the Lord as their Savior. But you know what? We don't naturally labor. That's not what we like to do. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 3, we're still there. It says, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. A lot of believers today are standing idle in the marketplace. They're not doing anything for the Lord. They're busy doing everything else but instead of serving the Lord. And we're supposed to serve Him. Matthew chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, it says, in about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? It's not a natural thing for God's people to want to get out and work for the Lord and do the Lord's work and accomplish the Lord's will. But it's still His will. And God's people are the ones that He chooses to do that. Here's what we do sometimes. In the Lord's work, we're busy comparing ourselves to other workers in the vineyard. We're going right back to the passage again. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 12. It says, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Started comparing themselves to others. You know, when Christians begin to do that, they wonder why God's not fair. Why, so-and-so, I've been saved longer than so-and-so, or I'm a better Christian than so-and-so, or that person's not a good believer, and they're disobedient, and they're not faithful. I like what the Lord said, though. The Apostle Paul, by the way, said when we start comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're simply not wise. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We're not to be in the Lord's work and compare what we're doing with someone else. I've said this in this church for 35 years. There are no little jobs in the Lord's work. And no matter what you do, I don't care what it is, there's no little job. Everything is important, you see. We tend to complain about the pay. You know, listen to what they said here in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. You see, we're not in the Lord's work to get rich, though some people do accumulate wealth. We're in the Lord's work to serve Him and let Him deal with us according to His own wisdom and how God does that. For the saved, there ought to be a desire there to be a servant of the Lord. No preacher, teacher, evangelist, missionary should have to beg God's people to serve Him. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It honestly is a privilege to serve Him. We're not in it for what we can get out of it. You see, we're in it for the Lord's glory. But notice also the money. Because money is involved in this, everyone was given a penny, and that was the common wage for the common person in those days, a penny a day. That was just the wage that it was. You say, well, that's not much. Well, back then it was a whole lot. And so they were promised a penny. And this, by the way, was exactly what they had agreed to. They agreed to a penny, no matter what time they came. And there are many in the Lord's work today who are in it for what they can get out of it. And this is selfish and absolutely sinfully wrong, you see. There are some that I didn't sign up for this. Well, I didn't know I was going to lose a house. I didn't know that it was going to cost me money. I didn't know it was going to cost me time. I didn't know what it was going to cost me, all these things. There's always a cost. But you know, there are some people that have said in times past, give God 10, he'll give you 100. Give God 100, he'll give you 1,000. That's not why you give to the Lord's work. We give unto him for his honor and for his glory. Look at verse 7, if you would, please. It indicates that the Lord pays a just wage. And by the way, he does. It says, he saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is, notice he doesn't say fair. He says, whatsoever is right. And he says, that shall you receive. The Lord always does right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The Bible says the Lord is good and doeth good in Psalm 119, verse 68. And so we find here that the Lord says he does everything rightly. And by the way, God's never made a mistake, and he's never told a lie, and he's never unkept a promise. He has held on to all of those things as true. But you know, there are those in the Lord's work today that simply say, I didn't sign up for this. You might be surprised what you signed up for. It includes so much. But then something happened that happens in so many places today. And I want you to notice the murmuring that happened. Anytime there's work to be done for the Lord, there's going to be murmuring, always. Doesn't matter what the work is. It does not matter where the work is. It does not matter any of those things. There's going to be those who murmur, those who whisper under their breath, those who complain about what they're involved with. There's going to be murmuring. But why does there even have to be murmuring among the Lord's workers? To be honest with you, there shouldn't be any at all for any reason. They questioned something about the fairness of it. And this is why many people quit the Lord's work. Preachers walk out of the pulpit. Sunday school teachers quit teaching Sunday school. You just start naming the different areas. Notice what it says here in verse number 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. They questioned the fairness of the man who had hired them. Again, they probably thought to themselves in modern language, I didn't sign up for this. This is simply not right. But their reasoning was flawed. They received what they had agreed to. They received what they had agreed to. You see. Now, notice this. They murmured against him. Verse 11. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. And there are so many today that are angry with the Lord because they feel that the Lord did not deal justly with them. And I just want to remind you, he is always good and he always does right by his people. And it doesn't matter who they are, young or old, educated or not, it simply does not matter. He's going to do right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? But then they questioned his judgment. And again, this is where so many of God's people quit. They quit the Lord's work. And it says in verse 12, it says, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Wow, they questioned his judgment. You did wrong by us. But no, he said, I did right, because I gave everybody exactly what they agreed to. And you agreed to no more. And you agreed to no less. It happens when laborers stop working and start talking. Did you know that even the Apostle Peter fell into this trap? It's amazing. It says here in John chapter 21, verses 20 and 22, 20 through 22. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, I will that he tarry till I come. But I like the next question. Jesus was very blunt. He said, what is that to thee? He was talking about John. He said, Peter knew he was going to end up dying for the Lord Jesus. He said, well, what about John? Well, Jesus basically said, how I deal with John is my business, and how I deal with you is my business. But how I deal with John is not your business. Very true. It's quite common for believers to compare themselves with others and then question the Lord. You see, murmuring never helps the cause of Christ, and we need to learn to do the work of the Lord without a murmur, just to do the job, without a pat on the back, without public recognition, without any type of praise, you see. We preach our sermons, we teach our lessons, we knock on our doors, we do all these different things. And sometimes believers want somebody to pat them on the back and tell them how good they've done. All I can say is this, if that's what you're in it for, you're going to be sorely disappointed, because people are never going to live up to your standard of what you want. It's just the way things are. The murmurers are most often those, maybe I shouldn't even say this tonight, but it's very, very true. The murmurers are often those who do not labor. They are the ones who do not do the work. But they criticize those who do the work, you see. So the question, I guess, in my message tonight is, are you involved in the Lord's work? Whatever that work is, are you involved in it? Doesn't matter what that work is. It's truly a great work, and the Lord is looking for laborers, and He wants laborers. We find that throughout Scripture. Why? Because God's people sometimes have to be encouraged, and sometimes they're even begged to serve the Lord, and it shouldn't be that way. But I think it's interesting how the Lord said in Isaiah, I sought for a man. He said, I didn't find anybody. Who will go for us? Suddenly there was a volunteer. I think of Dr. John Rice. He was not called to preach at the beginning. He was called later on, but he heard that there needed to be volunteers. And he said, I can volunteer. I can do that. And John Rice volunteered. Now, later on, he had the call, but he volunteered at first, you see. Your boss is simply the best there is, the Lord Jesus. And he pays a fair wage and does his business in a just way, because he is right and does right all the time. I think about a song that kept going through my head when I was preparing for this message. But back in 1871, the Fanny Crosby penned the words to one of our best-loved hymns. It's in your songbook today. It's simply entitled, To the Work, To the Work. I'll spare you the pain of my singing it to you, but I'm going to quote the words to you. And remember, this is said, these words were written by a blind woman who served the Lord without complaint. To the work, to the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of His counsel, our strength to renew, let us do with our might what our hands find to do, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, to the work, let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. In the cross and its banner our glory shall be, while we herald the tidings, salvation is free. To the work, to the work, there is labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall. And the name of Jehovah exalted shall be in the loud swelling chorus, salvation is free. To the work, to the work, in the strength of the Lord, and a robe and a crown shall our labor reward, when the home of the faithful our dwelling shall be, and shout with the ransomed, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. There are no little works in the Lord's work. It's all important, no matter what you do, no matter how little the job seems, and no matter how fruitless it may appear to you then, now. I think of the prophets in the Bible, Jeremiah, I think about Ezekiel. They had their ministries and didn't have people turn to the Lord, but they stayed faithful to their calling, no matter what it was. They just stayed faithful. I call them plodders, one foot in front of the next, just taking the next step, just doing what they were supposed to do. Without fanfare, without praise, without applause, without any of those things, usually lots of hardship, but they just kept on keeping on as an inspiration to every single one of us. So tonight, to the work. Don't ever count your labor for the Lord as something little. Don't ever back away from serving the Lord. No, remember, it's all for His honor. It's all for His glory. And say, what's in it for you? I think the Lord's smile, that's good enough. The Bible talks about faithful servants. It says that the number one characteristic of a steward of the Lord's work is that he be found faithful. I think that's interesting. Just that he's faithful. A plodder, one foot in front of the other one. Just taking the next step. Just doing what needs to be done. And now, when I think about churches today, I think about what David Gibbs said one time. He said, many people today are consumers of local churches. They look for what they can receive from that church rather than what they can give to that ministry. And I think that's very, very true today. Not what they can do within a local church. You remember what the Apostle Paul did when we were studying the Macedonian call? He said, y'all come over and help us now. Was he wrong in saying that? Absolutely not. Was he wrong in preaching that? No. Just needed laborers to get the work done. And that's what all of us can do. No one is exempt from the Lord wanting to use you in some way. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray, what did the songwriter say? To be used of God is my desire, and it ought to be all of our desires.